It's 6 minutes past seven, GMT. Welcome to Weekend from the BBC World Service with me, Julian Warwicker. Now, a little bit of music for you.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to glide in my beautiful balloon? We could float among the stars together, you and I. Oh, we can fly.
Well, that's Nancy Sinatra's ode to the wonder of balloons, and she is almost certainly not alone in wanting to go up, up and away. Jonathan Trapp is a cluster balloonist by trade, and he is currently in training for the adventure of a lifetime. He intends to cross the Atlantic Ocean in a lifeboat attached to 365 huge helium balloons. In 2010, he became the first person to fly across the English Channel by this method. He's now hoping to fulfil his dream to fly across the Atlantic in the summer of 2013. He's going to set off from Maine in the United States and set a course for Paris, but the elements may alter his course or indeed force him to abort the mission, in which case he'll need to ditch into the ocean. He has to prepare for that eventuality, hence him being seated in a lifeboat like a gondola for the whole journey. He told me about his expedition.
The scale of what we're taking on is epic. It's vast. It is one of Earth's great challenges, the Atlantic Ocean. It is the great white whale of adventure. And for me, it's 10 times what we've flown before. So for me, the scale is epic.
And talk to me as well about the craft, the life raft you'll be in, and the balloons above it.
Well, we've selected a very sturdy lifeboat. Not a raft, per se. A raft is inflatable and it can pop. And if you have to ditch into the sea in a raft, it's a miserable experience. This is a sturdy, rigid, little yellow rowboat. And it's attached to a towering cluster of helium-filled balloons. Just this explosion of primary colors, 100 feet tall, carrying me in this rowboat into the blue skies, and with tremendous luck and good weather across the big blue deep.
Right. You talk about tremendous luck and good weather. They are pretty key factors here, really, aren't they? And you can't actually rely on either of them.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Although the more I practice, the luckier I get, right? And we've been doing flights to that end. Now, that's not going to help with the weather. While we can't plan the weather, we could make some smart decisions. And what we're doing is allowing ourselves an ample weather window. I will sit on the coast of Maine. I've changed my life such that I can do that. I've changed my job. I left my job of 10 years, and I'll be on the coast of Maine for 3 months. And I will stare at the sea, and I will stare at the sky, and I will wait for a weather system, a beautiful high-pressure ridge that we can ride across the waters.
Staying with the elements for a moment, how are you going to protect yourself while you're in this lifeboat?
So we're riding rather high. We're flying 18 to 25,000 feet, depending on where the best currents of wind are. And then there's some common gear to protect against severe temperature. It's very cold, bitter cold. So if you think of what you might prepare on an Arctic expedition, that's the same type of gear we'll need to protect ourselves in flight. Then there's a whole new set of what we'd need should we have to ditch at sea, an immersion suit, Mustang Survival Ocean Commander, it's called. It's designed to preserve human life in the severe cold waters like the North Atlantic.
Presumably, when you are successful, and let's hope you are, you don't know where you're going to land on the other side of the Atlantic, do you?
That's one of the great things, isn't it? I mean, when was the last time you took a trip or even a journey outside your front door without a destination? Even if you're walking around the block, you're going somewhere. We will cast ourselves into the sky and ride the winds to destinations unknown at launch. And that could be a continent different, literally from North Africa to Norway, the UK, France, all are within our range or the range of possibility.
And how long is this likely to take, do you think?
The crossing will take between 3 and 6 days, depending on the weather system we have, the altitude we fly, and our final destination, North Africa, Portugal, France, the UK.
And do you get the chance to sleep at any point while all this is going on?
It's a bit dangerous, isn't it? Sleeping while flying an aircraft. But once I get it flying level, I can take little naps. We have a device made up, just a beautiful piece of technology. It's a one-button activation. It sets the altitude, and then any deviation from that altitude, plus or minus 500 feet, it alarms, such that I can snooze a little bit, take an hour here and there, without having to worry about a 100-foot-a-minute climb or descent taking me down to the surface or up into such thin air that I never wake up.
That is Jonathan Trapp, cluster balloonist, and the summer of the Northern Hemisphere next summer is when he plans to embark upon that extraordinary trip. Stefan Halper, are you the sort of man who admires that kind of adventurous spirit, or perhaps quietly questions the sanity of somebody who's embarking upon it?
I think I could probably sign on to both of those things. One of the great members of my college, Magdalen College at Cambridge, was Mr. Mallory, who was an early explorer of Everest. Mm. So we have a bit of a tradition of Everest exploration. And you have to admire these people. You have to question some of their judgments, but but you know, in the end, the world goes forward. We hope with this kind of energy and enthusiasm.
Laura, are you an admirer or a doubter?
Well, I have to say, I bet he can make one wicked balloon animal. I would love to see. I would love to see him at a fair and what he could come up with. You know, and then that was my initial thought on this guy. I thought, man, this sounds crazy. Then I looked at the website and the videos and I thought again, this is crazy. But there's an adventure spirit. I think we all need that infused to our daily lives. We have 24/7 of a news cycle that sometimes brings us down more than up, and this certainly brings you up.
And as you rightly point out, if you do see images of what it looked like when he did it over the English Channel, for example, it is absolutely spectacular. And in this instance, clearly there are more balloons involved, so it will look arguably even more spectacular. Anyway, next summer, that's when it'll all happen. You're listening to Weekend from the BBC World Service.